I've been to First Baptist Houston, Houston's First Baptist quite a bit, but I serve up in Conroe, beautiful Montgomery County up there. I live in Montgomery, out in the country, and so it's a pleasure to be here tonight. I've known Don Mutton, who some of you know is singles pastor here. I've known him for many years, and he's kind of my connection here. But your claim to fame as a church is that you have two of our former staff members on your staff, Justin Holcomb and Chad Overton. So they both served on our staff, not immediately, one of them immediately prior. So you can give them a hard time for destroying the ministry in Conroe after they left. I'm just kidding. But you can encourage them with that. So I'm glad to be here. Tonight we're going to talk about open and closed groups. So my question to you as you begin, so those of you that are walking in have an advantage, how many of you sat next to somebody who you do not know tonight? Good, all three of you. Good. So you've demonstrated a closed group mentality. Unwelcoming. I appreciate Johnny coming and introducing himself. I purposely did not introduce myself to anyone just to see who would come to me. Way to go, Johnny. I've got a gift for you.
Oh.
$10 to Cold Stone Creamery. Now you have to put your name and your phone number on this and give it to Jody, okay? In order to keep that. So, tonight, in the next 45 minutes or so, hour, we're going to talk about the joys, the pains, the advantages, the disadvantages, the purpose behind open groups, which in your case mostly would be defined as life Bible study class, and a closed group, which might be a grow group or a discipleship group or a small group outside of Sunday morning. So we're going to talk about that, kind of what that means, why do we need one or the other or both, and how does it help us fulfill the call we have as an individual, but also as a church. So before we do that, I want to pray for you, and then we're going to dive in and talk about some of this stuff. I'll give you a handout in a minute, but you'll have to wait because I don't want you reading ahead just yet. Okay, so let's pray together. Father, thank you for this evening and what you're doing tonight through the equipping and training of this event. I pray that people in this room and those that are leading all across the campus will be not just inspired and encouraged, but equipped to understand your purpose for the church and their role in it. And so tonight, may we learn, but then may we put in practice what we learn so that we can advance the cause of Christ. That's our goal. That's our desire. In Christ's name, amen. Well, as you think about your life Bible study group or your open group, as we call it, because we have various names, so we call ours life groups at my place up in Conroe. Some people call them Sunday school, Bible fellowship. There's a thousand names for a gathering that occurs regularly and anyone is invited to come to, right? That's what an open group is. So tell me some characteristics, and I just gave you a couple, of an open group. What is an open group? What are some things that would define an open group? So think about your life Bible study class. What are the things that happen or should happen or would describe that said group?
Guests,
okay? Hopefully, right?
People you may not know well.
So that's a long thing to say, but we'll just say not well-formed. It's just as long. Relationships. Johnny, you had your hand up.
Yeah, anyone's welcome.
Anyone welcome, good. Is that really true?
Yes.
For you, is that really true? It's not true. Where are my young singles in here? Would you invite my dad to your group? No, you would not. You probably would be suspicious if I showed up to your group. And I look young most of the time. Right? So, Johnny, yes, you're right. In theory, anyone is welcome. But the truth is, that's not always the case. Anyone in our defined age group, life status, life stage, is welcome. Right? That's true. Okay? All right, anything else?
The time and location are announced or
publicized. Okay, good.
Publicized.
Yes. So there's some PR involved. And we would also say that would be consistent, more than likely.
Yes.
Time and location are consistent. Okay.
Diversity, so that you don't have people with the same mindset, that anybody from a different background can come in and feel
yes,
integrated.
Yes, yes. So we'll say all stages of thought. Right? You could be the most committed believer, or you could be the craziest atheist, and anywhere in between. You could vote Democrat, Republican, Independent, Green Party, whatever you'd like. You're welcome. Okay. There's a big thing you're missing that happens in your life Bible study class. You study the Bible. Hey, what do you know? It's in the name. How you study the Bible. Okay, so but tell me about that.
Well, it means you don't have to have an advanced prep for somebody to walk in.
Okay, but there's a little bit, there's a condition on that. I can walk in as a new person and be unprepared for that Bible study. The Bible's going to be taught, but I don't have to be prepared for it in most cases. You can be. Right? Depending on your group. But the more prepared you make your people, the more you tend to be a
closed group.
Okay? So, good. The Bible's taught, but you don't have to be prepared. We might say every lesson is independent. Right? Even if you're going through the book of the Bible, every lesson is independent. So I can jump in at any time and get truth from that lesson. I don't have to have prior knowledge. Okay? Anything else? Okay, we'll pause there. Tell me about a closed group. Give me some characteristics of a closed group in your mind.
A higher level of dedication.
Okay, good. Okay, that anyone's welcome, and sometimes no one wants to come, right? to our open groups, right? On a cold, rainy, time change Sunday. For example.
Limited membership.
Limited membership, that's right.
Requires registration.
Right, so so you have to sign up.
And there may be qualifications.
Good.
Deeper commitment.
Okay. Yeah. So there's the dedication.
Yeah. It's not publicly announced.
Okay. May not be publicly announced. Right. There's a chance it might be.
Certain groups.
Right. So there's some. It's the PR is limited.
There's commonality.
Good. If I misspell something, just laugh and I'll know, okay? Thank you.
It has a defined study.
Okay, it's good. It's defined. I was about to get on you guys again for missing a key phrase. Defined study of
the Bible.
Is that true of every closed group?
Not necessarily.
Biblical topics.
Right, okay, so it's a defined study of something.
Yeah.
Right? Of something. Life Bible study, open group, should be the Bible. This may be biblically related, but it also could be a book. Or a Bible, a study of a topic. Okay? Anything else? Okay. You guys are good. I'm going to have you, I got a couple of helpers here, take one down, pass it around, since we're in Baptist Church, 99 bottles of root beer. If you'll take one, just kind of spread those. You'll see some of the things that we talked about in open and closed group. Okay. So, some of the things, if you got them, everybody got one? Get one, slowly but surely, get them around. We have enough. Got enough for those guys in the back. One, two. Everybody have one. Okay. So let's recap. Anyone is welcome and invited, right? Under certain guidelines, right? Again, back to our 62-year-old in our 28-year-old department. The lessons are independent. We talked about that. Guests and members come and go, right? There's little in the way of dedication, required dedication, right? Very little. I know if you're like most Baptist churches or church in general, 1.8 Sundays a month is a good number for most people. Right? 1.8 Sundays. You're above the curve. As a leader, we would expect you to be here, 4 out of 5, at least. 80%. That's a lot. That's 12 Sundays a year. You get to just take off, not come to church. At least not church here, right? Your standards might be different, but you think about that. Think about the coming and going nature of an open group. Does that make it easy or difficult? It's difficult, right? That's a difficulty of a closed group. There's a challenge there when there's transition all the time. Especially the younger the group is, or the more kids they have. But those are the two things. Or, in today's era of our aging population, the older they are, and the more mobile they are in retirement. They can get in their Winnebago and go wherever they want. For months at a time, you won't see them. Okay, so come and go. There's still, we didn't mention this, when there's a structured leadership. Right, you have leadership. That's welcome to the person sitting at the table next to you. Structured leadership. You have people in place who are designed, who are there, called, appointed, elected, arm twisted into leading. So you have that. Ongoing. Now, larger typically, right? Their size is larger, right? This group could be as little as 2 people, 3 people. Not too many of your life Bible studies are 3 people. 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, maybe more. Life Bible study class, larger, more outreach focused. Ongoing, that means they don't stop. Now, their name might change, the location might change at some point, but life open group is never ending. And that's kind of the purpose of it, is it stays forever, and it's much more flexible. Closed groups are smaller. We didn't mention that, but we kind of alluded to that. Smaller. Guests may not be welcome. May not. There may be an opportunity for you to invite a new person to your closed group, depending. Right? Not all closed groups are completely closed. The curriculum is focused and continual, communal in nature. Again, it's like, maybe us four and no more sometimes, and that's okay. There could be a start and an end date, and then there's usually deeper relationships. You want relationships to build here, but you can be guaranteed they're going to be built here. Because you hang out with 4 to 6, 8 people for a year or two, you're gonna know them backwards and forwards. And there's a much higher expectation level. So here's the question. Why, without looking at your paper that you've already looked at, why do we need, or do we need, both of these? Is it necessary to have both groups? Why? Yes, sir.
Well, in one, you have evangelism, and the other, you have discipleship. That would be my two main differential points between open and closed. It's hard to do deep discipleship in an open group.
Right.
You can do it, but you have to do it on a mentoring relationship or in a care group orientation, which by definition becomes kind of a closed group.
Right.
The open group is also an entry point for people to the church.
Yeah, entry point, And we have different entry points, right? This is not an entry point. A closed group is not an entry point to the church. You have to be an insider, really an insider, to know that this exists. Right? I can walk on this property and find in an instant every group that's available to me. Open group. In an instant, I can find that. I have to search pretty hard to, unless I had a relationship with a person who was in one of these groups. That's the only way. But if I'm a new person outside, I don't have it. It's an entry point. Good. Anything else? Why do we need both? And you have my little list there, but anything else besides the four or five things I wrote down on why both? Because I'm going to talk about those in a second. Anything else? Okay, how do we treat guests around Houston's First Baptist?
Family members.
Okay, like a family member. Okay, but if I was a family member, I would be in this group.
I treat them as a neighbor.
A neighbor?
Yeah.
Right, a neighbor.
I feel
like they were personally invited. Right, okay. So, how many of you know your neighbor? Now, I'm not talking about the neighbor here, like in your apartment complex, your neighborhood. How many know your neighbor? Not all of us know our neighbor, do we? My two neighbors don't live at their houses. My neighbor, if you're looking at my house to the left, he comes every third weekend, give or take. This neighbor works offshore, and he's there 10 days at a time, then he disappears. But even when he is there, I don't see him. Now, the people across the street, they have three kids like I do. I see them all the time. I'm not always happy about that, but I see them. And I know them, and I've invited them to our church. And so the reason why I was kind of tough on you on that question is because most of the time we treat open groups and guests more like family. Because when you have family, do they come over to your house? What do? They do whatever they want. Do you guide them a lot? Do you tell them where the restroom is? Do you tell them where the refrigerator is? No, you don't do any of that. Because they're your family, they just do whatever they want. The problem is when we treat a guest like family, we assume they know where the refrigerator is. We assume they know the protocol of how to act and think in this setting, like this on a Sunday morning. We need to treat them, a guest, if we're inviting them to an open group, more like a neighbor who perhaps hasn't been in your home because you haven't maybe been in their home. And so we've got to encourage them. We've got to walk with them step by step. That's why an open group is important, because we don't have a well-formed relationship with them yet. They don't know the ins and outs of my life and your life or how this thing operates. So I have to treat them that way. And so if you're a director or you're a leader in one of these closed groups, and one of your jobs is to look for people who you want to connect with and invest in more, who have an interest in growing deeper, then I need to help them understand how to get deeper first. That means I got to get to know them. So I got to pay attention like they're a neighbor, not a family member. My mom comes over to our house. I let her do whatever she wants. I don't talk to her. My boys talk to her. Because that's what she wants. She doesn't want to talk to me. She wants to talk to my boys. Right? And a guest comes to your house, this house. They're looking for somebody to talk to. Now, they may not say that. They may not act like that. But that's what they want. And so we've got to treat them that way. So guests are crucial. That's why a guest doesn't come to this. That's why we're not inviting guests to closed groups. Because this is family. We knew each other prior to this, and we want to get to know each other better, and we want to get to know our Lord even better as this group. So, as a neighbor, I need to open a group. And so let's invite our neighbors. If you don't know your neighbor in your apartment complex, your neighborhood, go home after you wake up about 10 tomorrow and go knock on their door and take them some chips and salsa. Okay? In Texas, that's the greatest thing in the world. Say, hey, we've never met. I just want to bring you a gift. Happy New Year. Have fun at the Super Bowl. Here's some chips and salsa. Right? Because that's the Super Bowl party. So, guests, entry points. We talked about it a little bit. Entry point. I can walk on this campus. You can go out in the community and you can hand a little, you know, little business card or something that you have about Houston's First. You can tell them, you can give them a map, you can give them a guest form, you can send them to the website. They can find 100 ways to get involved. 1,000 entry points here. There's 1,000 ways to get connected to Houston's First. 1,000 ways. You just have to find 3 or 4. But that's an open group. One of those ways is your open group. And so you need to be the flag waver, the drum beater for your group. In order for you to do that, you have to like your group. And that's part of the joy of an open group, is that it's dynamic and it's a little bit weird sometimes, and it's here and there, it's new people, it's old people. It's some people who are outgoing and then introverts that never say a word. Some people who we can't keep the drama away from, and it just gravitates to them. But that's okay. Because every person you invite has got one of those issues, one of those joys, one of those quirks, one of those exciting things. So think about those entry points. What are the entry points to our ministry, to our life Bible study, to our church? Most of what you do around here is open. Most of what you do. Just about anybody can come to it. Marriage seminar. Men's event, recreation, life Bible study. Anybody can come to it. And so find that. Find that point. Entry point. Accountability. What's the accountability here? In our open groups?
Minimal, because we don't know who all has placed their faith in Christ.
Right, minimal. So let me ask you a question. How many of our senior adult groups, the accountability is minimal? What would you think?
Not many.
Do you think the accountability in a senior adult life Bible study class is minimal?
No.
No, it's not. Because I know it's not in my church. The most committed, the most dedicated, the most studied, the most, you name it, are our senior adults in an open group. So here's what that tells me. The older you and I get, and the longer we're involved in open groups, the more we drift to this. So in theory, you're right. There's very little accountability here. Because again, we take attendance, but that's simply so somebody in the church office can pay attention and your in-reach person knows who to contact and encourage and treat like family and friend. To say, come back, we love you, we miss you, we want you to be a part of it. But we don't take their money. There's no penalty for not coming. Right? There's very little of that. But the older we get and the longer we're in a group, even if it's labeled open, the more we come this way. just naturally. So we have to constantly work. If this is what I've been called to be a part of and lead, then I have to constantly understand this idea of accountability and the balance we have to take. That our accountability in an open group is that we are constantly focused on these two things. That's our accountability. That guests are always welcome. We always want them. I'm constantly looking for the guests. I'm sitting in the worship service looking for people who look like they belong in my group. That's what I'm doing. When I walk across the campus, I'm looking for that person. When I'm in the community, I'm looking for the purpose. That's my accountability here. There's a different kind of accountability for the closed group. What's the closed group accountability? What's the accountability here?
Relationships.
Okay. Right? Okay. My challenge is to build a stronger relationship with these five guys or these four women or these three couples. And in doing so, as a part of that, we're going to build our relationship with Christ even more. That's the accountability. And if I don't do that, if I fall down on that, then what's the result?
Somebody's going to call you out on it.
That's right. There's a level of spiritual commitment and discipline. There's a level of discipline involved in a closed group. It's not involved here. And so the question that you have to ask if you lead a closed group or that's your assignment, does that exist? Does that level of accountability really exist? If that's our purpose, to grow in our faith and grow in relationship, and either I or someone in our group is not accomplishing that, then what is the accountability measure for that? You have to have it. Or you've lost your purpose. So the purpose of the open group is not accountability of attendance or commitment. The accountability is we need to constantly have fresh and new people involved. And at some point, we launch some of those people away from us. We give them away. Right? Because we get either big enough or diverse enough that we have so many coming that we launch some, we get rid of some of them. And we call them another Life Bible study group. That's the accountability here. Very different here. Because this is a spiritual maturity and development. And so we better have some accountability here. And then I realize that there are people who are on various aspects of their Christian journey. I'm going to be very uncomfortable in a setting like this if I haven't been a Christian but 2 months. This is going to be a tough sell for me. Very tough. But you know what? I need to come in and figure out, but where is the book of 1 John? Is that Old Testament? Or who is John? Is there only one of them? That's a good question. Because what's the answer? There's a bunch of Johns. Right? There's a bunch. And so... if I'm asking that question, I probably don't need to be over here. And so we're all at different points, and I see, you see it as a funnel. And so there are things at the top, these are kind of entry points. So Life Bible Study is one of those entry points. For you young singles, Metro Bible Study is one of those entry points. Recreation Ministry is an entry point. Marriage Seminar, entry point. Cook-off, entry point. Some event in your home, entry point. And then maybe even Life Bible Study is down here somewhere, a little further. Where I'm narrowing the gap, and less and less people are going to be involved, because there is somewhat of a commitment level. Right? Because how many people attend church here? The same number that attend Life Bible Study? No is the answer. Because some are stuck up here still. So there's a level of commitment. But then, closed group is down here. You know what? This is where I'm in my spiritual journey. I want to get deeper. I want to grow. And then I want to give my life away so that I'm bringing somebody else with me when we come back up here. So open and closed groups are different. And then we all have different relational needs. I think the ideal size of an open group, a light Bible study, is somewhere between 25 and 35 people. Because you can manage it. I've been a part of groups that are 50 and 60. It's chaos. We have a group in our church that I bemoan because they run about 85 every Sunday. It drives me crazy. And every time I go in there about launching new groups and all that, they run me out of there, you know, with the noose right behind me. You know, they want to hang me. Because they have a great structure and they do care groups and all this, and they give me all these reasons, and what they say is, we've launched 7 groups out of this group. That sounds good, right? You've launched 7 groups out of your group and you're still running 95. So you have to be smart enough to know when an open group really isn't open anymore. Because I ask, when's the last time you've done that? Because I know the answer. 8 years ago. Now, they still have guests and all that, but they're really this. Right? So again, you got to think relationally, how can I know 50, 60 people? No, I can know 25 pretty well, 35, I can do that. And some people need that, right? Some people thrive on larger groups. Others don't do well. So they might not be overly involved in a life Bible study, but they hear, or they get a relationship, or they find somebody who's doing this. They like that small group. They like the interaction, the question and answer, the diving deep and really discussing maybe difficult spiritual things that you can never get over here. And so our relational needs are different. That's why you need both. Relational needs. And so let's talk about this, because how many of you, I got upset at Don because he didn't make my title, so you can get on to him. He messed the title up. It's understanding the purposes of an open LBS and closed grow group. Well, it's not going to be purposes, it's going to be expectations, okay? So we're going to talk about expectations of these and how we find a balance, really. That's what it's about. Finding a balance between these two groups, and how do we make both of them work? Because everyone needs something, and sometimes more than one thing. And so I left some blanks there for you if you want to fill these in as you go. You can do that, or just try to guess at them next year when you pull this book out for Midnight Madness next year. But the first thing, how do we find balance between these two and create a sense of expectation and purpose as we go? The first one is, everyone needs a place to belong. Everyone needs a place to belong. Everyone. Young people, old people, married people, single people, smart people, dumb people. Pretty, not pretty, handsome, not handsome, wealthy, poor, everybody. Everybody needs a place to belong. And so, as you think about that, you need to help them find a place to belong. That's our goal, is to help people find a place to belong. And most of the time, the first place they're going to belong to is an open group, most of the time. And in your structure, probably every time. Some type of open group. It may be through a specialty ministry in the church, but most of the time it's going to be through this. So everyone needs a place to belong. And some people, and I would argue most people, need the next step. Not just a place to belong, but a place to connect. And that's where this goes. You kind of add that to the side. A place to connect. And connect at a deeper level. And that's where the grow group comes in, the closed group. And then everyone needs instruction, equipping, and inspiration. Everyone needs equipping, and inspiration. So let me ask you this. Think about your life Bible study class and we won't pick on anybody particularly, but what kind of instruction happens? You don't have Saturday night, do you? No, but Sunday morning. What happens on Sunday morning in your life Bible study class? What level of instruction is occurring? Not rhetorical.
Basic.
Okay. Basic. What does that mean, basic?
It's not too intellectual or too deep.
Okay. Okay, anybody else?
For our group, it's normally a blend of teaching or lecture with group discussion questions.
Okay.
So you're trying to get some level of class involvement and
right,
discussion.
Right, okay. So good. So there is maybe a combination of lecture / group participation. Okay.
Spoon feeding.
Spoon feeding. Okay. Yeah, like here it is. Okay. Walking you through step by step. This is everything you need to know and put into practice. Okay, good. Anybody else?
Still be application oriented.
Okay, application oriented. So at the end of the teaching, there's something for me to do or to think about or memorize. Anybody else? So let me ask you. At the end of each of the sessions, what do?
Pray.
Okay, you pray, and then what do?
Leave.
You leave. And where do you go?
Church or church.
Okay, you go into the big room, or your campus if you're from one of the other campuses, or you go to lunch, or you go home. Does that sum it up? And what happens with that instruction you've just received?
After about an hour, you've lost 50% of it.
You've lost most of it. By the time you finish lunch, you've lost most of it. So here's the challenge that we face in open groups. Because if I were to poll every group that's meeting right now across this campus and ask them, describe the teaching of your life Bible study, I would get mostly the answers you just gave. Basic, pretty spoon-fed, and maybe some interaction. But then what happens to every single person who leaves that room?
Life.
Life happens. And so, what happens to that information, that instruction, that equipping, that inspiration? What happens to it? Most of the time, it's forgotten. So one of the challenges we face in open groups, and this is where finding the balance is important, is that everyone needs instruction. And so if you're the teacher, if your teacher taught the same lesson every week for 52 weeks, would it matter? It would matter, because at the end of the 52 weeks, there would be no one left.
Yeah.
Except his or her spouse, if they were married. It would matter, right? It would matter. But here's the point in saying that is, oftentimes we struggle, teachers struggle. The instruction is difficult because the teacher understands, because it's the same for him or her, that the moment you step out of that room and life happens, most of what I just said to you, you don't remember. And so, the same themes, the same topics, the same scriptures come up over and over and over again. And that's okay. So let's not put down our open groups sometimes because they seem repetitive or basic. Because one thing I learned long ago is that I don't do most of what I know when it comes to following Christ. I just don't. Right? Because I'm a sinful person, saved by grace. And so I need that repetition. But there are times in my life when I understand that I need something greater. I need greater accountability. I need greater relationship. I need greater depth in an area of my life so that I can help somebody else. Because to me, that's the goal of a closed group. The goal of a closed group is for me to be held accountable, to get instructed and equipped so that I can leave that group and then go repeat that process to inspire somebody else to go through the same process. That's the goal of a closed group, is that we multiply ourselves through equipping and instructing. And so let's be careful as we think about our open groups, because I get frustrated too. I sit in one of our, we call them life groups, sometimes, and I think, didn't we hear this lesson 3 weeks ago? Well, yeah, we did. We did hear it. But that's okay. Because when I get it perfected, I can stop listening. And so let's honor this format. Let's honor it. Because everyone who comes needs that instruction and that equipping. And it's a challenge sometimes for those that have been in it longer, that understand the Scripture better. It's a challenge sometimes, right? It's hard sometimes to just kind of, okay, all right, I could teach this lesson. It's tough sometimes. But let's understand that we have to have this balance. And so I'm there to help facilitate the inspiration, the instruction, and the equipping. If I'm a part of that, I'm there to help facilitate that. So everyone needs instruction, equipping, and inspiration. And then everyone needs to take their spiritual life to the next step. Now, I knew that was the theme. So, you know, hey, what do you know? I paid attention. Okay? Everyone needs to take their spiritual life to the next step. And for the guest, the non-believer, the person who's at a stage of thought life that doesn't care about the gospel, their next step is let's get them to understand the reality of Christ, the truth of the gospel. Let's get them to understand that Jesus died for their sins and conquered death, and they can have abundant life through Christ. Let's get them to understand that. But that person that grew up in church, that understands the Bible, that knows it, that is in tune with God, let's get him or her to grow deeper with a group of people and maybe help even lead a group of people to go deeper, and then come back around to this poor guy or gal that just kind of fell off the turnip truck, and get them to walk together. Right? That's when. So let's help everybody take the next step of their spiritual journey, because sometimes the next step is not for me to go deeper, but the next step is for me to go outward. That's the next step. And so let's challenge our people not just to go deeper, but to go outward, because that's just as challenging. And then everyone needs a friend. Everyone needs a friend. And so let's make friends in our groups. We're going to make some lifelong friends in both of these groups. But let's see it as friendships. Let's find friends. Some of my closest friends to this day, we live in different states. We do different things. Almost all of them are married now. But they were formed because I sat next to them in a class, in a room like this. And at any moment, I could call those guys or gals and say, hey, can you help me? And all of them would do it. And to me, that's what getting involved in a group is about. And that can happen in this kind of a group, and it can happen in this kind of a group. And so that's why we need both these groups, because there are some people who are going to gravitate to this, and they're going to love the coming and the going, and they're going to get connected, and they're going to get involved in leadership, and they're going to help be the in-reach leader, or they're going to become the director one day, or they're going to be the teacher. And there are others who say, you know what? I'm going to take a group of folks that have a heart for God's word, and we're going to dive deep, and we're going to be accountable to one another, and I want to build these relationships that are unbreakable, and that's what I want to do, and they're going to do this. And so those couples, those guys, those gals, I'm going to dive deep into my friendship with them. So everybody needs a friend. That's why both these groups are important. And then finally, everyone needs to be led or needs to lead and be sent. Everyone needs to lead and be sent. That's why when you finish this grow, that's why grow groups need to be timed, in my opinion. They need to be timed. Because I need to be led for a while, and then I need to lead and be sent out. I need to hang out in a group for a while, but then if I know what's going on, you need to send me out, send four or five of my buddies with me, and let us start something new and different. That's the biggest challenge we face as a church, is that nobody wants to be sent out. They want to be sent out to Africa. They want to send out to inner city. They want to be sent out to orphans. But they don't want to send out to their peer group. And so your challenge as a grow group leader or a director or whatever your title is, person who just showed up tonight because they had free food, and a chocolate fondue, whatever it is, that's the challenge. Because most of us are comfortable where we are. But we need to lead and be sent out. And that's the goal, ultimately, of both these groups in different ways. Different ways to lead, to be sent. For those of you that might have been here a couple years ago, I talked about your mission as a Life Bible Study group. Your mission as a Life Bible Study, as an open group, might be to take a mission trip. Might be to go to the food pantry. Might be to take an international trip somewhere. Might be to take up a cause. But your ultimate mission is the people just like you. That's your mission. People just like me. The people who are in this group. That's our mission. So let's go after it. So let's be sent out to reach those people. And that'll happen. So I hope that's given you a little idea. And there's probably, again, there's no rocket science to Jesus. it's do the thing. Anybody have any thoughts or a question, comment? You have a struggle, like in your open group, or you're trying to get closed group started that nobody wants to commit? Question, thought, comment? You disagree with me? That's okay. Yes, sir.
Go ahead. You go ahead.
Oh. So the closed grow groups come out of an LBS.
Yes.
And would you say that they happen like organically, or is there some type of structure as to who is in that group and how do you form those groups?
I think it could be both. I think it could happen organically, where you have a person who says, I know what, I want to go deeper or connect on a different level with some people, or there's an interest, a subject interest that I have that we're never going to get to in the open group. And then you start just in the relationship you have. Hey, would you be willing to do this? Is this something you'd like to do in your own friendship base within that group? And you just sort of, hey, this is what we're going to do. Or you just kind of structurally say, guys, one of the goals of our LBS is to go deeper with God and deeper with each other. That's not going to happen regularly on Sunday morning because we're coming and going. Our schedules are crazy. Not all of you are going to connect with one another. But if you're interested in doing something a little deeper in a smaller environment that requires more commitment, that has a start end date, we're gonna have an informational meeting. Why don't you come and be a part of that? And here's what we're going to do. And whoever the leader is determines whether it's a book study, like a book of the Bible study, or a topic study, they determine that. And then you see what happens. But there is, somebody said, sign-ups. I don't know who said that, but said a sign. There's a sign-up. So I'm committing myself to be a part. Now, you don't do that first. You have an informational meeting and say, here are the requirements. And you list those out. And you'll eliminate some people that way. But you can do it both ways. Structure, you know, through a structure of the LBS organization, or you say, you know what? I in my conversations with folks in our class, I've noticed this topic or this area of life has come up a number of times. Maybe we ought to get these folks together and spend 6 months or a year just diving into this. So, either way.
Well, I guess one of the struggles we're having is we're the directors of a Life Bible study in the Siena campus, and we are trying to facilitate midweek groups that we're calling grow groups, but we're having people plug into those groups and then kind of, okay, we like this group, it's comfortable, so we're not going to go to LBS or maybe even church. You know, right. We just like our midweek group.
Yes.
And so, like, well, are we just, because it's almost a duplicate of LBS with the content that's being discussed. Right.
So that's why the, where is it? The dedication and qualifications are important. Before you start that group, you lay out the rules. This is what this group will be, this is what this group won't be. I think you have to do that up front so that they don't become the holy huddle. This is our holy huddle, and we don't need to do anything else. We don't need to come to church.
So a rule would be, you come to LBS.
That's exactly right. So here, the commitment level is you're committing to this above and beyond your relationship to LBS and worship. Right? A requirement is active involvement in worship and LBS. That's a requirement to be in a grow group. I mean, I would make it a requirement. So, again, so you're going to scare people off, but that's okay. They're it's not going to be for everybody. Sir, you
no, I'm okay with other.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
So I just sometimes I feel like ours is maybe the opposite. They end up, I don't want to say flaking, but flaking out like at the last minute. Oh, something came up.
Yep.
We're not going to be able to make it. And on the one hand, life happens. So I'm not going to say that life doesn't happen.
Right.
But when life happens continuously, mm-hmm. that's not life happening. That's
right.
You're not making it a priority. So I understand the whole rules.
Right.
I get that, but what if you're into it and people aren't following rules? How do you nicely pick them out, or?
So there's two ways you can do that. One way is you set up in your guidelines sort of the Matthew 18, that if there's anything happening in the group or you individually that we believe is detrimental either to the group or to the gospel, we're going to come to you individually and say, look, here it is. We told you it was going to happen. You got to be committed, or you're out. And they say, oh, no, I'm committed. And they come for 2 weeks, and then they flake again for a month. Then you take maybe the whole group to them and say, sit. And you're probably not going to get to the church and put them for the church. But they didn't come to grow group, you know, right? It's not a, you know, big sin. But that you either put it there, or you have to be bold enough to say in every meeting or at the beginning, guys, if you can't commit to this, you won't be allowed. So you have a certain number of times you can miss. After you miss that many, you're out. Because it messes up the continuity, right? Because the bottom line is there's definition to it, right? It's not just a defined study, but there's definition to this group. That's the purpose. There is no definition here. It's come and go any way, anyhow you want. No. This, by the sheer makeup of the grow group, it's defined. Everything about it is defined. What we're studying is defined. Who's involved is defined. The commitment level is defined. The time period is defined. Everything is defined. And if you can't live up to that, then maybe next time is the time for you. I mean, if you know the group Bible Study Fellowship, BSF, they don't have any problem telling you can't come if you miss a certain number of times. Because it's in their paperwork when you sign up. If you miss this many, you're out. And again, it's okay. You tell them, it's okay, I love you, you're my friend, we're going to hang out, I'm going to call you to go to dinner, we're going to do all this stuff. But we have to have a commitment level here or the group doesn't work, right? You don't have to have commitment level for this group to work. You have to have it here. So that's the key, that's crucial. So you don't have to feel bad saying, you know what, why don't you take the rest of the semester or the term off, and maybe next time will be the time for you.
But when you're setting those up, your mission statement needs to be a little more serious.
That's right. And that's yeah. Again, it's all back from the how you started, right? So you make it from the beginning, you lay it out for everybody. Because there's a high standard here. This is a much higher standard. So call people to that standard. And I think there are folks, I believe there are folks who want the higher standard. They want to be held accountable. And then if you don't hold them accountable, they're kind of frustrated by that. Because they're guilty. Right? Your friend is guilty. Oh, I missed again. Or, you know, I just couldn't make it. Or, you know, I really don't want to be a part of the group, but I feel obligated. Well, release them. And say it's okay. It's all right not to be a part of it. Yes, sir. We're going to get to you.
Well, I guess I had two things to say. In the open group, I feel like, and you may just have not focused on this part of it, I feel like there really must be an activity or a living of life together that the group must experience.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's dead.
That's right. Yes, you're exactly right.
Whether it's prayer in various ways where you actually communicate
right.
outside of class.
Yes.
And you develop friendships that happen.
Right. This is still you still have to have what I would call beyond Sunday.
Yeah.
That open groups still exist beyond Sunday. Closed groups definitely do, right? That's their primary function. But open groups need to exist beyond Sunday. That they have to, or they will die.
Yeah.
Very good point.
And not necessarily in numbers, but die
yeah.
in
yes.
in just the quality of,
yes.
of what we're doing.
That's right.
So the other thing is, I'm a part of a group that's a hybrid of the two. It's further narrow in its time, place, and
sensitive,
meaning.
Yeah.
It's narrowed in the fact that it's a men's group only.
Right.
It's open to anyone who could come, but when you're there, you get like a lecture. You get a lecture from a good speaker, but then you also get discussion time.
Right.
At tables where, and you can even decide to sit at the same table with the same guys every
right.
week.
Yes.
So it doesn't have to be one or the other, I don't think.
Right. There are some open groups, even I said as our senior adult groups operate as an open group, but they really are a hybrid, most senior adult groups. Hmm. They're a hybrid. And your men's class would be a similar situation where it's a hybrid. Yes, anyone is welcome, but most of them have a high level of commitment. And they have a high level of expectation as well. And so, yes, that does those kind of the in-between does exist, but those are the exception and not the rule, typically. Yes. gentlemen first.
So basically, when you have a group that is that hybrid, but you want to move it closer to open group, like your LBS on Sunday mornings
right.
or Sunday evenings, what are some general recommended tips to help make that a more open group? Especially when you have a smaller group that's been together a long time
yes.
and they're
yes.
very talented but also very intellectual.
Yes. So tell me your name, sir.
My name's Wes.
Wes said it.
On Sunday.
This is it. You have to have them experience life together and with other people beyond Sunday. So that means perhaps that group needs to get involved with another group beyond Sunday. So another LBS that meets, get the two groups together. Get them to see people outside of their normal routine. And then, is there something beyond Sunday that we can invite a friend to? That could be dinner, that could be anything. But what is it that gets us out of our normal 12, 14 people that we all know each other, and we've known each other for 6, 7 years or 3 years, and we all kind of think alike, what are the things that are going to get us out of that environment? You have to move them out of that environment. And when that happens, you'll have a chance to get some fresh people in there. And when you do, when you get some new people, you can't act like they're family. You have to engage them. You've got to get to know them. You have to do all that, or it'll, you'll forget it. You'll be a closed group. That's what you'll be. Yes, ma'am.
I had a question about the timeline for closed groups. Mm-hmm. Are they meant to be open-ended and you just invest in those relationships? Or is there a certain point where you kind of mutually agree to kind of separate and then form new groups with the purpose of investing in different relationships?
Yeah. I think a closed group should always have an end date. Mm-hmm. It should always have an end date. Now, that end date may be 6 months. It may be when we finish the book. Could be 2 years. I wouldn't go much past 2 years. 2 years would be the most I would suggest for a closed group to exist, 2 years. But that needs to be agreed upon either before you start or the first day, that we're going to meet for this amount of time. These are the things that we're going to study. These are the things that we're going to do as far as ministry goes. This is going to be the plan for our group. Because if you just say, oh, we're just going to meet every Thursday, no, what you become is a group of friends who hang out on Thursday and watch Friends, right? Or reruns, at least. And so you have to have some definition, again, at the very beginning. And that definition should include our end date. And I would say at some point, 3/4 of the way through that timeline, whoever the leader is, begin talking about, okay, who are the people, who are you going to recruit to be in your next grow group? Because all of you are going to lead one. Or two of you are going to lead one together, and you two are going to lead one together. How's that going to... So 3/4 of the way through, you better start talking about it. Okay? Yes, sir.
A year into that two-year commitment, somebody wants to... You don't let people in.
Right.
Direct them elsewhere.
Yes.
Other closed groups, LDS, that
Yes, sort of that's right. That's right. Okay. All right, we're getting new people in here. You need to leave. All right, let me pray for you. Then we'll go. God, thanks for these men and women who desire to invest in the spiritual growth of people who are new and people who have been around a long time. And so, Father, go before them and give them great wisdom as they balance welcoming guests, teaching your word, equipping people, and sending them out. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.